Welcome to Climb Your Mountain, the only podcast that teaches you how to use coaching, neuroscience, and mindfulness to overcome life's challenges. I'm Sarah Maurer, a certified life and performance coach, breathwork facilitator, and trance geek. Each week, I show you how to change your brain fast, for good, and without struggle. Whether you're training to climb an actual mountain, building a business, dating, or planning a fucking rebellion, these tools will help. Listen and learn so you can enjoy more of what you want. Happiness, fun, connection, creativity, courage, and the occasional mountaintop moment. Ready? Let's do this. Hey, my friends. How you doing? I am all right. It's funny because today we're going to talk about on this podcast how it's really important to focus on what you can control. And just to like talk about something we can't control, I just got off the phone with my mom's social worker. My mom's been in the hospital and I just got an earful about like this and that and how she shouldn't have even been hospitalized and why aren't we managing it better outside and the hospital is not for this and this isn't even like fixable. So why are we wasting their time? And it just filled me with like so much hatred for our healthcare system and our elder care system and dementia care systems in particular. I just want to like punch everyone in the face right now a little bit. And then after that wonderful conversation, I sat down to record this podcast. And of course, my mic was not picking up for like the last 15 minutes, and basically nothing I did would fix it. And I finally toggled a switch on and off, so it was the same setting, but then it started working. So again, technology, another thing we can't control. And I'm going to focus on what I can control, which is just being here with you all and recording a podcast and having some fun, sharing some thoughts, telling some stories, helping you with some tips, and hopefully just creating something that will be really awesome and make a difference in your day. So here we go. What a perfect one for today. We're going to talk about why it's really important to focus on what you can control. And kind of, I don't know, there's a few areas of my life where I've kind of been working on this lately, but it really hit me this, actually 2 weekends ago, I was running my first 30K in a long time. So 30K is a trail race that's basically in Imperial, like 18.7 miles or something like that. So it's a pretty long race and it felt really long for me. I had long COVID last year, didn't run anything over a 10K. So this was like crazy to be running 18 miles in the snow, in the wind. It actually was kind of bad weather. And I'm running along. And something you should know about me right up front is that for me, if you follow me on Instagram or listen to me here, you'll hear me talk about running quite a bit. I really love running. That's one of the big things I do. And some people kind of take this as I must be some kind of really good runner and really fast. And here's what you need to know. For me, running is 100% about the love and the fun and the community. And it's not about winning because I have always been a slow runner. Even when I'm super fit, I'm pretty slow. Like I'm fast relative to myself, but slow relative to everyone out there. And just as a fun aside, did you all know that like speed is not necessarily fitness? Did you know you can be the fittest person in the race and finish last? And that the winner is not always the most fit or the one that worked the hardest? And that's probably a whole other podcast, but yeah, I just thought I'd throw that out there in case there's any other slow runners that love to run out there like me. But yeah, I'm pretty slow. Like never in my life have I run a 5K in under 30 minutes. And this was even true in high school cross country when I was probably at my fittest. So I was in the race and I'm running along and I usually try to start near the back of the race, but there's always a few people behind me. And so there were still people that were coming up and passing me. And I don't know, I was just falling kind of far behind and watching everyone disappear. And I was having this thought that wouldn't it be nice to be in a different body? Because really there's only so much about my body I can change. I can't get taller. I can't get longer legs. I have like really, I'm 5'2", maybe like 5'1.5". And I have really short legs on top of that. Like my torso is long and my legs are short. I think my inseam's like 24 inches or something. So like pants never fit me. And it's just not an advantage for running at all. Like obviously never has been. And I also can't get bigger lungs. Like, it was funny when I had long COVID, when I was thinking about getting back to exercise a little, like the doctor was like, I want you to go and just do all your exercise testing, like make sure everything's okay. So like the exercise physiologist was working with me and he was like, yeah, I'm a little bit surprised that your lungs are either they're compromised by COVID or he's like, I honestly think they just might be kind of small naturally. He's like, it's kind of in the range where that could definitely be the case. And I'm like, yeah, I think that might be true. They've always just been kind of underpowered, like compared to the rest of me. So given this body, it's short, it's got short legs, it's got small lungs. And I mean, physically, I can make some small tweaks. I could probably lose a couple pounds and it would make me a little bit faster. I could probably run a few more miles a week and it would make me faster. But I still got to live in this body. There's an absolute limit to what it can do. It's probably never going to win an ultra unless I'm like the only one that enters, which I don't know, the other people just keep entering. That's never actually happened. So I noticed as I'm running along, just kind of thinking about all these things, that when I focus on what I can't control, I get really frustrated. And it feels really unfair that I'm not built like Courtney DeWalter. And I kind of resent the other people out on the course who can run faster, probably while training less than me. And if I keep that focus on what I can't control, which is my body and all these things, I don't enjoy the race as much. So here's my first life coaching tip. I want you to grab this. When we feel a lot of negative emotion in our life, in any part of our life, maybe our relationship, our job, whatever, it's usually because we're focused on what we can't control. And I want to offer to you right up front that that is a choice. And here's what I mean. So I'm running along, kind of feeling kind of bad for myself and down in the dumps. And then I got to thinking, and this made me really happy. And of course, being me, I'm like, I have to make a podcast about this because this is an amazing thought. Like the thing that came to me is my body is what it is, but isn't it amazing that I can change my mind infinitely? And this is true. Like scientists used to think that once you were an adult, your brain and all your neural pathways were set, and it took like 90 years of therapy to even change one neural pathway a little so that you could, you know, change a habit or, you know, change like have less anxiety. And that was the thinking for a long, long time. And what's so exciting and what we know now, because we have things like functional MRI and we can watch the brain operating in real time, we know that your brain is constantly changing. It's kind of like your phone that's always like updating itself, and maybe even like more often than your phone. Your phone maybe does it like once a week. Your brain is doing it just like constantly, like every single day of your life. Your brain is changing. It's laying down new pathways. It's deleting old ones and, you know, getting rid of old stuff that you don't need. And your brain is almost like a different brain from, not necessarily from minute to minute or day to day. It's hard to see the changes. But if you think back to yourself, even like 7 years ago, you probably had like a totally different brain and almost in some ways feel like a different person. And the cool thing is that by using coaching tools, you can really nudge those updates in the direction you want them to go. So what does this look like? So as I'm running, my survival brain might offer me thoughts, survival brain being kind of the lower part of the brain that's kind of operating outside conscious thought. We can come in consciously and be like, no, we're going to do something different. But a lot of the time, the survival brain, if we're not, I mean, it's kind of natural if we're just kind of going through life, going through the motions. Survival brain's kind of running the show. And survival brain will offer us thoughts. And what I've realized after lots of years of coaching, I've realized this, and I think I'm really good at this now, that I can believe whatever the hell I want. I don't have to believe what my brain is offering me. I can choose to believe only the things that serve me. And here's something that people don't know. Most of the things the brain is kind of doing unconsciously and offering you, like just, you know, on a moment-to-moment basis, really are just habits that you can think of them almost as like a program that your brain is running. So a lot of, for a lot of people, anxiety is a habit. So if that's you, you might think about going to a party and making small talk, and that thought creates a lot of anxiety in your body. It causes your body to tense up and release stress hormones, and maybe your heart beats a little faster. And that's not because small talk is scary or bad or because you're bad at small talk, but because our brain has just learned somewhere, often a long time ago, usually when we were pretty little, that to run that program. And now it runs it all the time just because it likes efficiency. It likes to do the same things over and over. And if it's running the anxiety program over and over, it's probably running thousands of programs like that. And here's the thing I want you to really believe: you can break them. If there's a brain habit that is, you know, just not serving you and getting in the way of you living the life you want to live and having the things you want to have, you can 100% break that habit. And I've experienced this. I've seen it happen so much with my own clients. It's 100% doable. So if you want to be someone, if you're someone who kind of has never liked small talk and feels anxious about thinking about like going to a party and mingling with a lot of people, you could also, if you wanted to, become someone who's excited about small talk. You could just teach your brain how to do this. And it's interesting because a lot of people make their brain habits their identity. Like they might go around just saying, yeah, I'm just antisocial. I'm not very social. I'm bad at small talk. And they kind of act like this is who they are and it's unchangeable, but that's not true. That change is totally within your grasp. And I had an experience kind of like this. I always, like growing up, had a little bit of, so not like crippling, but I think it's a thread throughout my life. I had a lot of like social anxiety that you can see, like even from my like report cards when I was in elementary school, and then just kind of following me like all through high school, all through college, all through adulthood. I kind of just couldn't like relax around other people. I was kind of hypervigilant, like how are they watching me? And I kind of had this belief, I'm like, I have to be like drunk to be like fun and talk to new people. So maybe some of you out there can relate. And it was interesting, like after coaching, and I didn't even specifically coach on social anxiety. I was actually coaching on some things that were going on with my family. But because whenever we're making changes in the brain, a lot of times they will generalize out. If you kind of fix one thing, it'll fix a lot of things. And sometimes it's a little bit surprising how that happened. So I had been going to coaching, and I remember like later that week, I was kind of at a, like I was on like a group hike, and I was, you know, walking with some guy I had just met, and I was telling him a story, and it kind of hit me in the middle of the story. I'm like, this is a really stupid story. I can kind of tell this guy like doesn't care and wishes I would hurry up. And like the next thought my brain had, which blew my mind, was, I don't care. I feel like telling this story. I'm just going to tell it to him because I want to, because it brings me joy. And that was a totally new pathway for my brain to fire. I think I had like literally never had that thought. So I could have gone the rest of my life telling myself I am someone with social anxiety. And it totally wasn't true. Like I actually, like ever since then, have, you know, I wouldn't say I never have moments of social anxiety, but I'd say like it's 90% better than it was. And usually if it does pop up, it's something kind of new, like new situation, new person, like something maybe I just haven't had the chance to like work with in my brain before. So it is really, really cool. And another way to look at this, and I'll kind of bring it back to the running analogy. Another way to look at it is my body is one of the many circumstances in my life that I can't control. Like when I'm out there running the race, I can't change my height or the length of my legs. I can't change. And there's a lot of other things that I can't control. Like when I'm already out there running, I can't change my training up to that moment. I can't change how much sleep I got last night, which was not much because I camped out the night before and was like sleeping in the back of my car, and it was like raining and snowing and thundering and lightning. So not like the best night for sleeping in your car. And like on the course, I'm like, yeah, it's like now it's cold, it's foggy, but I can't change the weather. I can't change what other people do. I can't change who's in the race and that they're all faster than me. But if I focus my mind, which is the only part I can 100% control, I can always run a better race. Like even with these circumstances, even in this body. And like one thing I think is really interesting about long distance running is that it is all about patience and pacing. You have to run at a pace that you can sustain for 5 hours. And that is often pretty slow. And especially at the beginning, you feel like you are running so slow. I think everybody feels this way. Like that's doing it well. Like you're just like, I know I could go faster. There's someone up there that like looks like I should be able to run faster than them, but you can't do it because you have to just be very disciplined about sticking to your pace. So if you're really doing a good job at that, a lot of times at the beginning, people will be passing you. If you're me, you will be near the very back of the pack. And the way that I kind of counteract that is to do some work ahead of time on my mind, knowing that that's going to happen, and just decide ahead of time what I'm going to think about it, and then just really get kind of persnickety and be like very dogged about directing my mind to the thoughts that are helpful. So whenever my brain's like, you're just so slow, like this sucks, this isn't fair. Yeah, I just kind of direct it to thoughts like, it's okay to come in last. Like you can be DFL, dead fucking last. And it's not going to matter. You will still be just as done. This is an actual thought I worked with in this race. And I also kind of like decided ahead of time that I'm going to celebrate myself for getting it done or even just for starting, because there's a chance in every race that you might not get it done. And I also love the thought, I've already won. I'm not going to win the race, but what if I sat here and just named to myself like all the ways I've already won? And like, I can think about all the work that I did in training up to this point. I can celebrate the fact that I got to the start line healthy. I can celebrate that it was like a really tough week. That was the week my mom went into the hospital. That was like the week before that was before the Saturday of the race. And I can celebrate that, yeah, I got myself here in a very stressful week, in a very stressful circumstance. And I'm just going to be like incredibly proud of myself for that. Like, and another one that I thought was, and not everyone will have access to the circumstance unless you've had long COVID and been out of your favorite sport for a year. I had this amazing thought that, like, even if I don't finish this race, like the idea that I could sign up for a 30K and have some hope of finishing, like feel like I am in that place, is just amazing. Because last year, I was like nervous to sign up for a 10K, like 30K felt like it was on the moon or something. Now, like I'm getting close to running a 50K, like I'm going to go for it like in June. And that's just like an amazing, crazy feeling. So you can kind of see that. And, well, and I love this one, too. I'll give you one more. If the whole point of the race is just to enjoy it and feel proud of myself, like, I can do that. I can use my thoughts to enjoy it. I can use my thoughts to feel, like, so proud of myself. I can enjoy it more and feel more proud of the person who wins this whole damn thing. And I bet I do, because I feel like being like really good and really elite and being able to win is stressful in itself. You probably actually feel pressured to win, which I don't. I just get to run and get done and be like, oh, I'm done. That's amazing. So yeah, just thinking amazing thoughts that create amazing feelings really is my only job in this race. And if I do that, I can be a winner and feel like a winner, even if I come in DFL dead fucking last. So yeah. And what I want to offer you is that this works for any life circumstance. There's a bunch of stuff in your life that you can't change. You can't change the past. You can't change other people, like what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're thinking. You can't change the weather. You can't change There's nothing that happened before this moment that you can go back and change. We can't time travel. So there's all that. There's all the circumstances, all the stuff you cannot control, all the stuff you cannot change. And then there's you and your amazing brain. And by focusing always on what you can control and releasing what you can't, you can just create your own reality and enjoy your life so much more. And some people are like, this is a very Pollyanna-ish way to look at the world. Like, what if, for example, I develop some fatal disease and I have 6 months to live? And, you know, obviously I can't change that. Yeah, how am I supposed to like manage my brain through that? My first response is like, it's not the point is not necessarily to be like happy in every moment. I also feel like this is true. Like, obviously, if you have some kind of fatal disease, there's like a grieving process. You get to feel like all the emotions, like as you're moving through this very like human experience, and you get to like feel what you feel and experience all that. And like, really, beyond that, it becomes a choice. So if you develop some fatal disease, you only have 6 months to live. You probably can't change that. Let's assume that you can't. But you can still decide to focus on what's in your control. You can do things that create more purpose, more quality of life, more connection. And even if you could maybe not create a huge amount, but like 10% more in the last 6 months of your life, what would that do for you? Would it be worth it? Would it be worth it to just, yeah, choose to manage your mind in that direction? And you can also decide to the degree that's possible, because you can't control everything, that you're going to live those last 6 months on your terms, like, you know, focusing on the things that are important to you. That's what I think the real power of like learning to focus on what you can control in managing your mind. I kind of think that's like the ultimate example of what that can really create in your life, and that's pretty amazing. And if you love the idea of this, but feel like, yeah, I just have a lot of brain habits that take me in the opposite direction, like, you know, the whole thought of like changing my life by changing my brain just feels kind of impossible and hard to do. I mean, I like the idea. I believe in this idea, but or maybe you've even tried before and found it very hard to just change your brain and change the way you're thinking. That's where coaching can be so magical. If you want to explore that more for yourself, definitely check the show notes. We can set up a call to just kind of talk about what's going on with you and like what you're trying to create, what you want more of in your life. Where are the areas where you're just not experiencing a ton of satisfaction, where you just want to be like deeply satisfied? We'll just really like dig into all that. And I'll tell you exactly what I think. What are the thoughts that, you know, need to change? What are the stories that need to change, and how we'll go about it? Like, there will be no mystery when you sign up for coaching with me about like what we're going to do and how it's going to look. I'll give you a roadmap from the very, very start, so that when you sign up, you can feel like very confident that you are going where you want to go. So if that sounds awesome, definitely check my contact info in the show notes. Feel free to email me if you have questions. Feel free to set up a discovery call if you want to. The discovery call is free, no obligation. It's just like a consult with a lawyer, something like that. Not a consult with a doctor, where they always charge you. It really is just a, you know, is this coaching thing, if I'm going to invest some time and money in it, going to be like what's going to guarantee me and get me my results? What's going to move the needle for me? That's really, I think that's worth like taking a free hour to look at before you dive in all the way. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you soon, and yeah, have a good one.